Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. This is the program where we affirm the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. We have a wonderful, luminous guest today. Her name is Catherine Schoenberg. She is a profound teacher of Kabbalah, and we'll talk about the road that brought her to that line of study and practice. She is wonderful in helping us to understand how images can heal and transform, and has founded her own school of images, which is active all over the world. She's a transpersonal psychologist. And to just give you a little feel for her relationship with dreaming and the dreaming, the dream field, as she likes to call it, let me quote one of the most robust and rousing statements about what dreaming can accomplish that I've ever read. It's from her new book, The Kabbalah of Light, which we'll be discussing in this program. And here is Catherine on her project in writing this book and in offering us a way of working with dreams and imagery. Quote, "This is a journey back to the pure light of Eden, where human and God gaze into each other and become one. This can only be accomplished by dreaming." Well, thank you for that, Catherine. That is indeed rousing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I last saw you in Prague, and I saw you lead your lightning quick exercises, which are a very important part of the new book, to a group, and indeed you do them very fast. And in the course of this show, if we could persuade you, I'd like you to choose one or two of your exercises in imagination and creative imagination, so we can demonstrate your practice. But before we do that, tell us how you came to this road of Kabbalah, this connection with a lineage that goes back to the 13th century, to Girona and southern France, and travels to us via the great Coletta Bulker-Muscat, who I didn't have the pleasure of meeting, but whose work I know. Tell us what drew you to Kabbalah, and particularly to this work with imagery that has become your life cause.
Well, can I simply say that it's a mystery, that it comes really from dreaming, and
of
that
course.
It started when I was very, very young. I'm hearing a lot of echo on the line, Robert.
Go on, go ahead.
Oh, it's echoing a lot.
Well, don't worry for now. The listeners won't be bothered by it.
Okay. So, basically, from the very beginning, I was a dreamer. When I was a tiny child, I was dreaming and I was working with images and helping people. These are my first memories. And the dreaming kept on indicating to me what to do, where to go, and I followed it. So, eventually, it took me all around the Middle East. And then one day I started hearing, you've got to go to Israel. And I had no idea about Israel, not interested, didn't understand why I was to go to Israel.
Let's pause for a moment, because you come from a well-off French family, French-Algerian, as I understand, not Jewish,
yeah.
And no family connection with Jewish mysticism, as I heard the story, and suddenly you're hearing, go to Israel. This must have created pandemonium around you.
Oh, it did, especially as I'd had gotten a scholarship to Harvard. And I was telling my parents I wasn't going to go. I was going to go to Israel. And I knew nothing about Israel, but I was going to go, which is what I did. And I ended up really in a kibbutz in Israel, picking fruit, not understanding at all.
In a sense, you've been picking fruit and helping us to pick fruit ever since. Are we still on the line, or did the call get dropped?
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Hello?
Well, we're waiting to get... The trickster's
yeah.
always in play around these things, Catherine. The trickster's always in play, so let's make it part of the game. So there you are picking fruit on a kibbutz, and then something brings you to Colette. Tell us about what brought you to Colette and what happened in your training with Colette.
Well, what happened was very astonishing. I was it was the Yom Kippur War, and after the Yom Kippur War, a number of French people came to the kibbutz because they had companions on the kibbutz. And I got into a conversation with them, and they talked to me about this social woman who is the center of the French community in Jerusalem. And they told me her name. And when I heard her name, there was an explosion in my brain, and I filled with light. And I knew I had to meet this lady. Now, what I knew was that she was the social center of the French community. I didn't know she was a teacher. They never told me. I went 3 times to Jerusalem, which was a long trip because I was down south. And I finally moved to Jerusalem because I knew I had to meet this woman. The dreaming had come back. The dreamer was telling me, you've got to meet this woman. So finally I got there, and she was sitting in her garden. And I came down and sat with her and with the person who accompanied me. And she looked me in the eyes and said, what do you want? This was very intimidating since I was a young woman. And I was totally surprised with myself because I said to her, I want you to tell me how images move people. And she looked at me and said, I've waited for you a long time. So that began the apprenticeship. And my apprenticeship with her consisted of being there every single day, including Shabbat, and bringing her my night dreams. And they had to be all written out and painted. And I had to be there at 7:30 in the morning.
I love this. I love this element of the discipline of both producing the report and the illustration, in this case, the painting. Of course, first thing in the morning, 7:30, which is a bit cruel for many dreamers. But my goodness, it does start with a practice, doesn't it? And that is a fierce practice. Have you kept up the practice of painting your dreams?
No, because I've been so very busy writing and doing all sorts of things with students and all that. But that was the discipline that I kept with her for 10 years, because I was there every day for 10 years. And I do illustrate them when I need to, when I feel that the mapping of the dream is important or a particular image is striking. So then I will illustrate it. And I encourage all my students to do that, whether they illustrate it or they make a dance out of it or they write about it or they write a story about it, you know, to move it beyond just the recording of the dream.
Yes, so I think we agree that we have to do more than interpret dreams. We have to give body to their energy and their guidance and let it out into the world, make it a creative act. Speaking of which, central to your practice are these lightning-quick exercises in imagination, if I may call them that. Your book is full of them. What I'd love you to do is to choose one, any one. I have no particular one in mind. I tried a few of them myself on the way to this conversation. But I'd like you, if you would, to guide us exactly as you would guide an individual client or a group so we can experience your way of bringing imagery to life. In your book, you apply these imaginal exercises to everything from repairing a skin condition to healing a dysfunctional family, defining your path to the higher self. So you choose, as a first exercise, we might ask you to do another one later, an initiation for our listeners into your the way that you work with images.
Well, let me first give a little introduction to this, because let's say I would come with a dream, and there was in the dream what I call a necessity, which is that the dream was not completely finished, or the dream showed that there was a door that might indicate a way through to something else. And so one of the aspects of this tradition is that we respond and we dialogue with the dream. We respond to the necessity of the dream. So let's say again that I had dreamt of a key. So we're going to start with a key exercise. So close your eyes and sit up straight, legs and arms uncrossed. And just for a moment, turn back into your breathing. Just watching your breathing. Allowing the breath to find its own rhythm. Knowing that when the breath finds its own rhythm, what is not in place tends to return to be in place. Now breathe out slowly and see the number three. Breathe out to the number two. Mouth open, you're breathing out slowly. Breathe out to the number one, being the one, tall, clear, and bright. Imagine that somebody has put a key into your hand. Take a look at this key. What does it look like? What is it made of? How big, how small is it? Now breathe out slowly and find the lock to which that key belongs. Be a door, it could be a chest of drawers, it could be a cupboard, we don't know. Find the lock to which that key belongs. Now breathe out, put the key into the lock, and when you're ready, open the lock and see what is beyond. And if you feel like it, you cross the door, or you look into the chest of drawers, whatever it is that you feel you're moved to do. And breathing out, open your eyes, seeing what you've discovered with open eyes. So we cannot ask your listeners to tell us what they saw. Robert?
Yes. I was staying with the box that I was unlocking from your meditation. You make a point of wanting these things to be very quick and very fast, and you say in your book that one of the things accomplished by that is you don't allow time for fantasy in the negative sense of making things up in a trivial way. I might add that it doesn't really allow time for much editing or critiquing either, which is probably another advantage. I like the speed of it. So you've done this with me or with other people or with a small group or all the people who will be listening to this program. What do they do at the end of the exercise? What do you counsel them to do now that they've looked for the box or the door that the key fits? What's the next step?
This is impossible for me to know unless the person speaks up. So let's say the person has opened the door and there's a magnificent garden. So walk in the garden. Or they've opened up a chest and they've found treasure. There's no necessary explanation for this except for the joy of this and the value of seeing all this treasure and this light. Others may find that they've encountered something that may be a little more difficult. But then we continue with it. Let's say there's another necessity that appears. Then we're going to respond to that necessity. And that is what grows slowly, development into the dream world, and also our consciousness, meaning that our consciousness will grow as we explore more and more avenues. It's like a huge palace with many, many rooms, and we can explore all of those rooms. Eventually, we're going to become the master of that palace.
Very well said.
The king or the queen.
So these are exercises for dreaming in waking circumstances, inducing a lightly altered state of consciousness just for a few minutes. You also, of course, have been guided by night dreams in several forms and guide people on how to approach night dreams. One of the points on which we agree is that we want the dreamer always to be regarded as the expert or authority on their own dream at the end of the day. We don't want to tell them what the meaning of their dreams or the meaning of their life is. And you talk about the need for dreamers to find a dream companion, which you sometimes call a secondary dreamer, so that someone commenting on a dream accepts that they're secondary, they can give their feedback, but at the end of the day, to quote you, you must always return the dream to the original dreamer. I think that is so important, particularly when compared and contrasted with traditions, well-known in Judaism and well-known in any other religious tradition, where, you know, the sheikh, the rabbi, the priest, the psychiatrist, the psychologist is set up as the expert and authority on dreams. We want to give the power to the dreamer, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, you know, in the biblical text, Joseph says that, I am not the interpreter of the dream, God is. God is the only interpreter of the dream. And I think that since we're made in the image of God, each dreamer is the co-creator of their dream with God, and we have to return it back to the original dreamer. The original dreamer, the way I put it always to them is, you have heard, let's say we have 14 secondary dreamers that have each looked at the dream and from their point of view, I as a secondary dreamer see that this dream means this to me. But eventually we ask the original dreamer, what has resonated for you? And we bow to whatever has resonated to that, to the original dreamer, and never try to convince them that maybe I was right and you were wrong. We don't do that because it's such a profound and delicate thing to do to open up the subconscious field. We want to be totally respectful of it. And respecting what the dreamer, the original dreamer, feels and knows about him or herself is the key to what I call opening the dream. We're not interpreting, we're just opening it to its many different facets. There's a story in the Talmudic literature that says that a man had a dream and he went up to the temple and he met with 24 different dream interpreters. And each of them opened the dream in a different way and said something different. And then the dreamer says, but each of them was true and came to pass. So again, the world, our life is many layered and full of many possibilities. And so we cannot fix the dream for the original dreamer. It is his, her soul that is doing that, right? And that develops the knowledge of the inner voice, because the original dreamer is saying, well, that works for me, but that doesn't work for me at all. What you said, Catherine, that doesn't work. But what this one said, what Robert said, that really works. And so it enables the original dreamer to really go deeper into their feeling about the dream, into their knowing about the dream, knowing in the sense of experiencing.
Thank you for that very clear and powerful and helpful statement. We're talking to Catherine Schoenberg. Her new book is The Kabbalah of Light. The subtitle is very descriptive, Ancient Practices to Ignite the Imagination and Illumine the Soul. Catherine, what is your website?
TheSchoolOfImages.org.
All right, we're going to be talking more with Catherine after the break, and after that wonderful affirmation that at the end of the day, the dreamer is the authority on their own dream. We're going to talk about the exemplars, the founders, the lineage carriers with whom Catherine associates herself, going back to Girona and the south of France in the 13th century. And I'll prepare her for this part of the discussion by saying one of the things I'm going to ask you, Catherine, is whether you dream or feel in direct communion with the past masters, leaders of this tradition. So you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Bass. We'll be back after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Hop over to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see I'm about to launch a new advanced course with deeper adventures in the multiverse. For now, our wonderful guest is Catherine Schoenberg, and her new book, which I strongly recommend, is The Kabbalah of Light. And let's ask Catherine to explain the title and the practice, because it is about light, the light of creation, perhaps. And there is a tradition here, which I understand goes back to the 13th century. So, Catherine, talk to me about this practice of yours as a practice of light and the forebears of this practice.
Well, I think I need to go back to the Bible and to the first words in Genesis, in which God hovers over the darkness, over the waters, the dark waters. And immediately after that, there was light. And immediately after that, but I'll come back to that, is order, an order of creation. So when we dream at night, we are actually doing exactly the same thing. Our conscious mind is turning inward and hovering over the subconscious, which is this great river or this great ocean of forms and images and experiences. And as we hover, because the subconscious is filled with, the conscious mind is filled with questions. So I may have a question. How am I going to get to publish my book? And the subconscious immediately responds to the focus question and will bring me a dream. And so the dream is a response or cohesion of all of the millions and millions of forms of information that come together to create a dream in answer to a question. And generally, people don't think about that. They don't do it consciously, but they have an anxiety, and the anxiety then produces a dream. The dream is in response. It's when the conscious mind is looking into the subconscious. Now, if we look at Genesis, God hovers over the waters, and immediately light is created. We do that. We do that every time we dream. Every time we look inside, it should be dark. And when you look at it in the story of the Bible, the sun, the moon, the stars had not been created. So the Kabbalists talk about this particular maneuver that creates light in our bodies as the light of creation. And this is so powerful. It means that I can create myself. Now, I'm not going to be able to will it, but I'm going to be able to ask the subconscious to rise up and give me its insight. And as I've told you, one of the most important things is I respond to this necessity until my subconscious is cleared of all garbage and it starts to show me my true mission and alignment in life. It starts to show me my soul. It's what I call a great dream. So the practice is so important. Every time I look in, it starts to form order. Light and then order. It's ordering. And I am actually, by doing this work and asking the questions and tapping into my subconscious, I am co-creating myself and my future. So this is a very ancient method. It's the most ancient of the Kabbalistic methods. It's the simplest. It definitely started long before the 13th century. You can see in the biblical text the patriarchs walking the desert and asking the question about the mystery of the world and then having dreams. Most of the Bible is talking about dreams and dreamers and prophets. And there are schools of prophecy that were taught during the biblical time. Now, this was then clearly carried over in all of the traditional teaching, the oral tradition, and then went all the way to the 13th century, where there was a sudden explosion of mysticism in the south of France and in Spain, not only Jewish, but Christian and Muslim, and it was like a huge melting pot, like we have today, actually, where there's a melting pot of the different traditions coming together and talking to each other.
So, I love the way you remind us that the Bible is a book of dreams and visions, and take not only of the dreams, which are explicitly dreams from the text, but scenes which can be regarded as dreams in the sense that something is in motion in the way the dream characters and elements move. I'm smiling to myself because I remember once being on a plane next to a woman who revealed herself to be a very fundamentalist Christian, and I mentioned dreams, and she said, "I don't dream, I'm a Christian." And I said, "May I gently suggest that you open the Bible again and have another look, because there are a few dreams in the Bible."
This is
wonderful stuff, beautifully presented. And yeah. I love your analogy. It's a bold and rousing analogy between the dreamer floating over the cauldron, as you put it in your book, the cauldron of images and experiences from the unconscious, and sending in a question which will bring something to rise from the deep. Catherine, you said that your voice, so I don't know whether there are several or there's one in particular, but you said that your voice told you to write a book about raising Leviathan. What is this about?
Well, I was surprised because I had no idea what it was about, but I came to understand very quickly the Leviathan is really the subconscious. It's this great mass of experience and information that is held in our bodies, right? Or in our energetic bodies that, I call that our dream field. And our dream field is not only personal, but it's also familial and national and global. So we are this vast organism full of this knowledge, right? And we can tap into it. What was I saying? I can't remember what the question was.
You say some fascinating things about
the Leviathan, yeah.
Of course, for which there are names in different mythologies, to Tiamat, Tethys, I mean, many come to mind, but you basically say that this is the power of the deep. It initially seems formless and chaotic and terrifying, but actually can be a source of enlightenment in life if you're ready to encounter it.
As we respond to the Leviathan, the Leviathan is like our emotions. We don't understand why we have emotions, but they rise up furiously. And that's the beginning of the encounter with the Leviathan myth, which is that he's violent and dangerous. And that we need to learn to tame the Leviathan. So the whole process of from this violent oceans of emotions to slowly becoming the playmate of God. By the end, the Leviathan has risen up in the ocean, turning the whole ocean into light, and become the playmate of God.
And so this is the playmate of God. That's a wonderful phrase.
It's an incredible image of what we can do with our subconscious. We can turn it to light, and we can become playmates of God. Everything becomes easy. Everything becomes fun. So,
which are put in a personal context, but I think because we're heading for break, we'll wait until the break. We'll just offer our listeners another quote from your book, The Kabbalah of Light, which really struck me, and I'm going to get you to comment on this from your personal experience as we go along. Here's what Catherine says in the Kabbalah of Light, page 29. Quote, "We cannot force our dreams to produce what we want, but we can ask our dreams to give form to our longing." To give form to our longing. That's a beautiful statement, Catherine. I'm going to ask you about it further. But it's time to take a break. You're listening to Where the Dream with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Catherine Schoenberg. Her new book is The Kabbalah of Light. I also recommend her previous book, Kabbalah and the Power of Dreaming. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss. Our guest today is Catherine Schoenberg, author of The Kabbalah of Light. She started telling us all that that means. Catherine, at a certain point in my life, when I started getting deeper and deeper into teaching dreaming and the uses of the imagination, somebody walked through my mind in the middle of the night and recited the Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, and I was sort of startled. I mean, this was not Jewish Kabbalah. I think this was sort of universal Kabbalah, or even, one might say, Christian or Gnostic Kabbalah, but that was how he introduced himself. And then we had night after night of incandescent communication, and this, I say he because it was a male voice. I understood that this person, to I never gave an exact name, but did have a sort of, you know, sobriquet for, represented a lineage. I mean, represented an ancient order, an order of the Western Way, and that he'd introduced himself to both confirm me in my own practice and add the tools and techniques of his tradition. So this became guiding. I wrote a bit about it quite openly in a book of mine called Dream Gates. Did you have similar experiences? I mean, I know you've talked about the forebears of Colette's tradition. You've talked about the people in Girona and in southern France. Do you sense that they are their representatives or their, you know, intellectual essence communicated with you?
Well, it's very intriguing because I was studying with Colette and I knew nothing about Judaism and she never approached Judaism with me. I was doing the imagery and that was it until one day all the saints appeared, I mean the Jewish masters, and said to me, it's time for you to look at Judaism. So I approached Judaism and took a look at it, and everything I'd written was clearly in the Jewish vein. So much so that I then decided to become Jewish, and they converted me in an untold, unprecedented quickness. It took literally 4 months, which is unheard of, really, and it was in Jerusalem. Where the most Orthodox, where I was doing it in the Orthodox Department of Religion. And then a year or two later, my aunt came over, and I took her to see Colette. And to my utter astonishment, they fell into each other's arms. And it turned out that my mother, my aunt, had lived across the street from Colette in Algeria, had gone to the same schools. So that was beginning to be really strange. This story went on further, much later in time, when I discovered that my mother's family was called Duquelard, and the Duquelard family lived exactly where the great yeshiva of Isaac the Blind, who was the originator of the word Kabbalah and of the inner gazing work that we teach. That I teach, they lived literally on that land. They owned the land, and they were students of his. So this was so astonishing to me because I had been guided all along by the dreaming, and it had brought me right back to where it had all started to cohese into a system, a methodology that could be taught. And that methodology was later, many of the rabbis who had studied with Isaac the Blind, blind because he was looking inward, not because he was physically blind.
Yes.
They took that tradition to Spain, to a place called Girona, where there was a whole ferment of, group of Kabbalists who were studying and working together and doing this kind of work. And later, of course, in Spain, all the great texts of Kabbalah appeared, and the biggest, the most well-known was the Zohar, which is all about dreaming, really. I look at a text of the Bible, and then I gaze inward, and new information comes up. So all of my work has been done with this in mind, knowing that the ancestors are talking to me. But, you know, when I would work, I would see my hands, and they would be my teacher Colette's hands. They weren't mine. And I feel them all around me, but, you know, they've come in dreams and in imagery, waking dreams. Now it seems like we're all one. That's where I'm at today.
My impression is that the ancestors are indeed always with us and may always be looking for us. And I've come to understand that, for me at least, ancestors mean three different not contradictory, but three distinct categories of beings. There are the ancestors of our bloodlines, there are the ancestors of our spiritual family, our multidimensional family, which might go far beyond any obvious genetics or gene tree, and there are the ancestors of the land where we live. I mean, I wouldn't be doing probably the things I'm doing had I not moved to a rural location upstate New York and been contacted by spirits of this land, and particularly an Irishman who came to America in the 18th century and the Native Americans he knew best. So to what extent do the techniques that you offer, the dreams and imaginal techniques you offer, provide a road to healing our relations with the ancestors?
Oh, totally. I mean, it's really one great river. And the way to understand this is that we have, I mean, in the linear time, we have a story, we have a tapestry, let's say. Here's the tapestry of my ancestry, my father, my mother, my grandparents, and so forth. And I can take a look at this tapestry. Actually, we could do that as an exercise. And then I could, because it's all in the now. Dreaming is in the now. It's not in the past or the future or the present. It's in the nowing. Not a beautiful word, but we can actually participate in the story by saying, I love you, ancestors. Let's change this. Let's take out this.
I agree with you, not only that dreaming is in the now, but I would add the idea that fundamentally the time is always now, and that from now time, once we recognize what is possible, we can access past, future, or parallel time, step in and out of them, and rectify things that need to be made right across the apparent distance of time. I mean, this is one of the gifts of recognizing that dreaming may also be traveling from a place outside time to, if we wish to, places within time to accomplish certain specific things. Well, you mentioned an exercise we might do. I think we'll wait till the last segment for that. Let me just say, Catherine, following your urging for us to set questions for our dreams and have something rise from the deep, I asked last night for my dreams to provide something interesting for today, including primarily my conversation with you. Do you want to hear a short dream report? I had a very busy night. I was all over the place. I was in Hong Kong for a long time. I don't know why, but I was in Hong Kong for a long time. And it was one of those sequences in which a door opens and suddenly you're in a distinctly different space. But here's one vignette, one jewel from the necklace. So I am in an area of cleared land under moonlight. The land has been cleared for construction, and there are ramparts of earth and rock all around it. Enormous earth-moving equipment. And I'm really enjoying the scene. It's my property. Something's being prepared for me, I think. And suddenly, all the earth-moving equipment is white. It's been painted white. And now a train, it's a locomotive. It's like an old-fashioned steam locomotive, but there's no steam coming out of it. It's white, too. Comes through a gap in the earth wall into the scene, and there it is, and it's coming fast. And I know the driver's not going to try to hurt me, but I step out of his way, and I decide I'll let him get on with his thing and leave the scene. So that the white locomotive is the dream that I saved in particular to tell you.
So the white locomotive is moving a huge segment of land, right?
It's moving into this cleared space. I mean, the land is naked because it's been cleared, I think, for foundations. It's coming at me, but not in a sinister or threatening way. It's just sort of coming into the space, and I just step to one side. You'd step out of the way of someone in the street.
Now, is the locomotive moving towards the right or the left?
Moving it straight at me.
Straight at me.
I know you like right versus left, but I can't help you. It's coming straight at me.
No, I don't need help. tell me, is the land itself white?
No, the land is dark. It looks fertile. It's like very, very dark. It's moonlight, but it's very dark soil, and it looks like very fertile soil.
So I think it's really moving the whole, one's whole psyche into very productive, very abundant land, right? Very fertile land. That's what it sounds like.
Well, I felt optimistic after the scene. I found it aesthetically rather satisfying, and I liked the mystery of the white train. We have to take another break, Catherine, and after the break, our primary duty will be to get you to do the exercise that you mentioned, going back perhaps through the generations or whatever you have in mind. We're talking to Catherine Shainberg. Wonderful conversation. Her book, the new book, is The Kabbalah of Light. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. We'll be back for one more good segment after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss, do pop over to mossdreams.com, my website. You'll see I'm launching some new online courses. Our guest today, wonderful guest, is Catherine Shainberg, author of The Kabbalah of Light. And she volunteered. She offered us a new exercise, and I'd just love you to lead us wherever you will, Catherine.
All right. So we were talking about lineage, so and about the fact that time is the true time, is deep time, what I call deep time. It has no past, no future, no present. So we can change our family history. So this is to change the family history. So close your eyes and breathe out slowly three times, mouth open, breathing out, seeing the numbers from 3 to 1. And see the 1 tall, clear, and bright. Imagine that you're sitting at your loom and you're taking the whole day to weave your family story into a tapestry with all the good and the bad of the family story. So feel yourself moving your arms, moving horizontally and vertically, feeling the sound of the loom, choosing your colors. And by the end of the day, you see that you have a whole tapestry. Now take a look at this tapestry and pay attention to the parts in the tapestry that don't go well with the rest, the colors that you don't like, stories that stand out in a disagreeable way. Once you've identified that, breathe out slowly. And you're going to take the whole night to undo the tapestry, color by color. Take your time and put aside the colors you don't like. Put them to the left. Breathe out, and dawn, your tapestry is completely undone. Now breathe out slowly twice. And you're going to start weaving a new tapestry of your family history, keeping everything that you like and leaving out what you don't like. You use the colors that you've liked. You can add new colors that you like and take your time, feeling your movements of your arms horizontally and vertically, hearing the sound until your whole tapestry is done. Now breathe out and see your finished family tapestry. Look at it and make sure that you're completely satisfied with it. If not, you can undo a few things and redo them until your tapestry looks exactly the way you want it to look for your past, your present, your future to be in happy harmony for yourself and your family. And breathing out, open your eyes, seeing the new tapestry with open eyes. So, Robert, we can't ask everybody how their tapestry looked, but I hope that everybody was able to create a new tapestry that enhances their joy for the future, their optimism for the future.
Yes, thank you, Catherine. That was beautiful. I think people will be weaving and unweaving that image for some time. You reminded me of a charming moment in my family life when I had three daughters, and they all shared their dreams with me when they were young, not so often later on. However, in her 20s, one of my daughters came to me and said, "Daddy, we were in the same dream together last night. Do you want to hear it?" "Yes." She said, "We were building a ladder to the moon, and it was made of tapestries of scenes of family life and the ancestors that we chose to hang, making somehow a ladder to the moon." So I had that moment of happy recall. Of course, I didn't know how to use a loom, so I was using a painting and then later a sand painting, but it gave me some very precious imagery. Let me just say that some of the exercises and suggestions in your book that most seized me were about healing our relations with the inner child and rescuing the inner child from whatever situation the child might be in, because I think you and I would agree that if the time is now, one thing we can always do as dreamers is we can say to the younger self, "You will make it through, you will survive. Yes, I know things are bad, but you'll be okay." And we can hold on to each other and hug each other and do things that each other enjoys. You have a number of, I think, very valuable exercises to help people heal their relations with the younger self, some of which could amount to a kind of soul recovery, to use slightly shamanic language. I enjoyed that part of the book very much indeed.
Well, you know, I always think of the tarot that has a beautiful card called the Sun card, in which, in the ancient tarot, the Marseille, the most ancient tarot we know, where the wounded child comes and meets with the child of light, and they meet in a sacred ground where the wounded child loses his animal side and returns back to happiness with his twin. And I believe we have a twin inside of us, right? And
right.
And that we need to find the twin again. He's full of light and he's happy, like the child Christ in the manger is full of light and happy, and every part of the self comes back to find that child, that luminosity inside of us that fills us with joy and brings us enlightenment, really. So, do you want another exercise? Is that what you're asking me?
I'd love another exercise, but I don't know that we've got time. We've only got a couple of minutes. So let's just turn back to the central theme of your life and work, as I understand it, which is the healing and transformative power of images generally. I often think reading you of something that René Dormel said in Mount Analog, which is the doors to the invisible must be visible. I mean, working with images is a Western way, right? And you quote Aristotle in your book also, saying that the soul never thinks without an image. Just tell us a little bit more about the importance of images and your Sapphire approach to working with imagery.
Well, images are really purely your body language, your sensations. And that's why this chapter actually is starting with clearing the sensations. That's the road back to finding the Osiris, if you want, right? Isis is looking for Osiris, and she finds him by listening to the little children, and the little children are sensations. The images are language of our body, our sensations, and it's giving us the truth about our embodiment and how our embodiment is living its life. So there's no transformation without going through the images. We can have mental ideas, but it's not going to transform us. Transformation happens on the instant and through the subconscious pool of images.
All right.
Quick enough, we had 1 minute.
No, that's brilliantly said, and Kronos, the god of linear time, I'm afraid, is not our ally at this point. So we'll be back in a moment, really, to say Dream On with Catherine Shainberg. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978. Since ancient...
Well, we've had a real treat in this show. Catherine Shainberg, the Kabbalah of Light. Thank you so much, Catherine, for all you've shared with us.
Well, thank you for having me on, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Robert.
You really do rouse and inspire our imagination, and I want to read and see more of you. So may your best dreams come true, and I'll say that to everybody who's been listening. May your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.